Maybe.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Holecast. Jack Grimsey alongside Robert Lintott, as always, for 7500tohold.com. And after last week's disappointing draw against QPR, Villa got a win against Sherwood's former team, Spurs. Still, I think, laughing about it, Robert.
I couldn't believe it. I figured with the draw against QPR, we were screwed, we were boned, and then that? What a joy.
Yeah, I mean, and the weekend before was terrible, but I mean, you gotta dig yourself out of it sometimes, I guess. And Villa actually did that, making up for the QPR result.
What they did. Tim Sherwood really keeping his win ratio up at White Hart Lane.
Best in the league, or best ever win ratio for Spurs, and he was fired. So.
Yeah, exactly. So now he's screwing with other people's win ratios. I adore it.
Had to pay them back.
Yeah, no kidding. I following the text updates because I wasn't able to watch the match live. Following the text updates was the last 20 minutes were the most harrowing 20 minutes of following Twitter I've ever had.
Yeah, and I mean, I was watching it, and it just looked bad. It just looked like Villa were going to concede because that's what they do in the second half and late. And I mean, Carlos Sanchez had to pick up a red, which. Now he's going to be out, but I think it was a good tackle that, or smart tackle that he had decided to put in, even if he knew he was going to get a second yellow.
Yeah, it looked like one of those fouls that you just sort of have to make. Missing a match is worth keeping
Winning.
Villa in the league.
Yeah, exactly. Getting 3 points, like especially with all the other teams around us still. I mean, Leicester won again, beating West Brom. West Brom are totally useless.
A flaming pile of junk right now.
They just don't care anymore.
No, and the funny thing is, it's brought them right back into the relegation race.
Yeah, just a point ahead of Villa now, and I mean the way it's been going, the way the Benteke's been scoring. I mean, it'd be nice to finish ahead of West Brom, and we're still just 3 points behind Newcastle, who's an entirely separate tire fire on their own.
Yeah, no kidding. Finishing above West Brom and getting that double over them in our last two meetings of the season would just be the most joyful outcome possible.
The double within a week.
Oh, so wonderful.
Those were two must-win matches, and I'm still kind of surprised that Villa did it, but maybe I shouldn't be so surprised because Sherwood's actually turned it around.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, even in the Tottenham match, the most exciting part of Tim Sherwood is you're not sure if you're going to win, but you're going to enjoy watching the match. Maybe
Yeah.
watching it through your fingers, but you're going to enjoy watching it.
Yeah. Like, at least it's not going to be dull like Lambert. And at least if something happens, good or bad, the camera's going to cut to Sherwood doing something hilarious.
Exactly. Yeah, and you can level that criticism at him. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what tactically is going to happen, and you're not sure if you're going to win. But with Paul Lambert for this season, it was you're not sure if you're not going to lose.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we made it to halftime, nil-nil. Can the
Yeah.
defense hold on?
When do we concede the inevitable goal, and when do we never score?
Yeah, when do we never score? Yeah, I mean, he knew we weren't scoring.
Yeah, exactly. And it's. I don't know. I Sherwood is not perfect, but he is unquestionably better than Lambert, at least for this club at this moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I think maybe, I mean, we always talk about how it's just a change of scenery. But maybe he's a better motivator. He's got Benteke. He scored 8 goals in his last 6 games.
Yeah, Benteke is absolutely on fire. I did, thanks to some prompting from someone on Twitter, I did some looking, and Benteke is the Premier League's leading scorer since Tim Sherwood came aboard.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not surprising at all because I mean, it's surprising that he has done it. But when you look at when you've watched the games and you've seen how many he scored, you'd think that.
Yeah, he's been absolutely terrific lately. And this match against Spurs was, I guess, sort of what we should be expecting from Tim Sherwood's side. You grab a goal and then you just pray from there on out.
Yeah, because first Kieran Clark got injured and Nathan Baker had to come on, and credit to Baker, he was incredible.
I do want to point out that on last week's podcast, you and I were saying that for a big match like Spurs, maybe Vlahar and Baker would be a better pairing than anyone else just because of their experience. And we unexpectedly got that pairing. And
yeah, it's not the way we wanted to get it. We never wanted to see someone get hurt, especially Kieran Clark, but that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. But and it turned out that that pairing might have been the key to the match.
Yeah, it might have been. And like, I really like what you were saying last week on how if you're going to switch it up, just switch the pairings, keep Clark Okora and then switch to Vlahar Baker or whatever. And, you know,
because we've seen it for some strange reason, despite the fact that we have four really individually talented defenders, they don't seem to work that well with the others in the other pairing. Maybe Baker and Clark would be okay together.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe that's because if they're working in training, if it's 11v11s or something, it's always been set up that they've been together. I don't know. Who knows? But
yeah, absolutely. But, you know, Clark was looking decent, and then the injury happened. But Baker came on and showed himself marvelously. And there's, thanks to Clark getting injured, there's a very real chance that it's a Baker-Vlahar pairing in Wembley on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I think Clark's going to be out, and that's really a big blow, that injury, as well as, I mean, the Carlos Sanchez red card, and, you know, still waiting on Hutton and also Sissoko. I mean, it could be Richardson again.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the really neat thing about Villa this year is so long as we've got at least one backup, with the central defenders we have, you don't feel horribly uncomfortable with any of the pairings.
No, which is kind of surprising, I think, looking at years past. You know, like, for a while, Villa had conceded a ridiculously low amount of goals. Now they've given away 45, which, I mean, it's really in the about mid-table. It's not nowhere near the bottom, but, you know, they haven't been great for a while, but
yeah,
I don't know. At least they look decent as a unit, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it sucks to lose Clark because I think you can make a really good argument that Clark has been our player of the year. But Baker and Vlahar is not a bad option. And they showed it against Tottenham. They didn't make too many mistakes. There were some, but they kept getting covered up. And in fact, it was usually them cleaning up other people's mistakes.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, I think until a couple weeks ago, Clark was for sure player of the year. Now Benteke's into the argument.
Yeah, he's made himself a feature of this, which poor Kieran Clark.
Yeah. Consistency for the whole season.
Yeah. But I think he'll appreciate it when he can still get the money for his next contract, thanks to the fact that Villa are in the league.
Yeah, definitely. And I think going forward, he has a real argument that he should be the captain.
Yeah, absolutely. Except for the problem is Fabian Delph is still on the team.
Yeah. I mean, but with those two, or at least vice captain, maybe. But
yeah, absolutely. And the two of them have been fantastic this year. Delph looked pretty good against Tottenham.
Yeah, Delph's back to being good. I mean,
the weird thing with him is he will just disappear for a match every now and again.
Yeah, and that's surprising because sometimes he's the most influential player.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of old Gabby. Old Gabby used to not be around for ages and then suddenly appear and be amazing for one or two matches at a time and then disappear again. Delph is doing he's pretty good most of the time, and every once in a while he'll do a vanishing trick.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot that Gabby also picked up an injury against Spurs.
Oh, yeah. God damn it. I forgot that, too. You know, we've got that coming. I think a possibility, maybe not player of the match, but a possibility for one of the most undersung players of that Spurs match was Tom Cleverley.
Oh, yeah, I think so as well. He's
great positioning, great running around. His run makes that goal possible. His run behind Bakuna, dragging defenders off to the right side with him and freeing up Benteke makes that goal possible.
Yeah, and Cleverley's another player who's just been really renewed under Sherwood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yesterday Schalke was interested in him this summer. I mean, he's going to be available on a free. His contract expires at United. I don't think Villa are going to pay, what is it, 9 million for him because his contract's going to be expired. But I think really if he keeps playing like this, I'd love to see him at Villa permanently. And I'm sure if he keeps playing well, he'd probably like to come back to Villa.
Yeah, no, I'd like to see him at Villa permanently. I still don't have any regrets about not signing him in January. I still don't think he's a 7 million player.
Yeah, no way, no way. Or Sorry, 9 million euros. But yeah, the way he was playing under Lambert, everything had just stagnated. Not worth it then, now. Not worth the 7 million, maybe if it was, I don't know, 3 or 4.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a 3 or 4 million player, unquestionably. He's not a 7 million player right now. I think you could take that 7 million
contract.
Yeah, and I think you could take that 7 million and get something better out of it elsewhere. But that said, I do want to see him back. I just don't want to see him back at that price.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for Villa to be successful going forward, if they're able to get players on frees like that, that's how you can really bolster your squad and within spending reasonable amounts.
What they should do is. And maybe this is oversimplifying it a bit, is, you know, beef up his wage package a little bit. You know, say this is a $3 million player. We don't have to spend $3 million. So what if we amortize $1.5 million over his wages and bump whatever we are planning on giving him by that?
Yeah, exactly, because that's a better selling point than what some other clubs, I guess, would offer maybe, or if they're not really able to do that.
I think there's enough flexibility because of the fact that he would be coming over on a free to make a decent offer and maybe lure him away from some of the bigger clubs that are looking at him.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess, who did we get for free this year? Senderos, Richardson, Joe Cole.
They've all worked out so well.
I mean, outside of Richardson just being destructive, Joe Cole hasn't hurt the team, and Senderos was okay when he wasn't hurt himself.
Yeah, Senderos was looking legitimately good, actually, for a while.
And now he's just on the training table icing his knee at, what, 30K a week or something?
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, again, not a huge hit. Yeah, if we can find good free players. My one worry in that regard is that was the one skill that Lambert really had, was finding gems in the transfer market.
Yeah, or even bargains. Like, look at Bakuna.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Lone, they're starters now. They were both pretty cheap. I mean, we haven't seen Westwood too much under Sherwood, but I don't know. I think he was a decent buy. And then another guy we haven't seen at all under Sherwood, Carlos Heel, he still could be out.
Yeah, absolutely. We might see Westwood on Sunday with Sanchez out, if Westwood isn't injured.
Yeah, he's listed as doubtful on whoscored.com's preview.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I'm wondering if we're going to have to run out players who are not fully match fit.
Yeah, Robert had an idea actually before the podcast. What if the club sold really raffle tickets for £200 and the winner would get a spot on the Villa bench? Obviously, yeah. They wouldn't go in, but I guess
you're
7 people.
I actually wonder how much money you could make off of that. I'm almost certain that it's illegal by FA regulations and whatnot, but just like how many people would pay £200 for a legitimate shot at making the Aston Villa bench, living out their lifelong dream. And then we turn around and use that money to actually buy a player to replace them.
Yeah, buy Daniel Johnson back.
Yeah, you know. It makes you wonder, do we have to recall like a Lewis Kinsella or something like that? I don't think we will. But you find yourself going, damn, I wish we hadn't sent them out on loan.
Yeah, and then, I mean, then that's awkward because then you can't send them back on loan again when someone gets healthy in a week, you know?
Yeah.
And then that guy's obviously sitting for the rest of the season, but
maybe we see Russian Hepburn Murphy make his His Wembley debut.
Yeah, hey guys, I'm at Wembley today.
I mean, the injury situation is such that doesn't seem entirely implausible.
No, not at all. Yeah, I think I was seeing that up to 11 first team players could be out.
Squad. If Gabby's out and you've got Benteke and Vyman as your starting striking duo, who's your backup striker? It actually might be Russian Hepburn Murphy.
Yeah, and that's because Kozak still isn't back, even if he is
so
playing
close.
In the U21s.
Yeah, he played in the U21. Maybe he makes the bench for this. You know, maybe he's got enough match fitness that he can do 30 minutes.
But what if you bring him on and then you have to sub for him?
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, that's the worry, and that's exactly what we're facing on Sunday.
Especially because it could go to extra time.
Yeah. Let's see. We're going to be, like you said, we're going to be missing Hutton, Sissoko.
Possibly Clark.
Clark.
Sanchez.
Sanchez. Cinderos, obviously.
Sinclair, doubtful. Westwood, doubtful.
Carlos Hill apparently picked up a leg injury in a U21 match.
Yeah, Hutton, and then Chris Hurd still out. So
yeah, and then Gabby.
Yeah.
I mean, God, can Guzan play striker? I wouldn't trust him to kick anything accurately.
Yeah, but maybe he like scores from midfield.
The funny thing was he was aiming for the right touchline, and he somehow ended up scoring.
Yeah, just trying to play like a nice long diagonal. Flies into the top corner.
Huh, shit. Sorry, guys. You know, there's so many injuries that... The interesting thing is I don't think we have trouble fielding a starting 11 that are at least acceptable. I think we have trouble when we need to make subs, which we will have to do at some point.
Yeah, just because you'll have to change the shape from what Sherwood's wanting to play, or, you know, you'll be, your hand will be forced really with who's available.
Yeah, you could even do this 4-4-2 diamond. You know, if Westwood is available, there's been speculation, and I'm not sure if he's available, put him in Sanchez's spot and run out essentially the same lineup we did against Spurs, except for Vyman in for Ekban Lahore and Baker for Clark. Yeah. That's a 4-4-2 that worked against Spurs. It was terrifying, but it worked. But then who are your substitutes when someone inevitably gets injured because that's the season we're having?
Yeah, I think maybe you'd have to keep Vyman on the bench and go with Grealish and Zogbia at attacking mid and just kind of drop, kind of flip the top two and the one in the hole to a 2-1.
Yeah, but the thing that worries me is Benteke has come to life when he's had a strike partner lately.
Yeah.
And so do you mess with the single hottest player on the team right now?
You told Grealish to play striker.
Yeah, I mean, you could. Or I think this is where, you know, you see Russian Hepburn Murphy on the bench because Vyman probably gets that start. And we all know what Vyman's been doing this year, which is diddly squat.
Yeah, but he scores goals at random times, I guess, but...
Right? You could just see the joy of him scoring and then essentially just flipping us all off for hating him. Whatever, I would take that middle, that flying bird.
Yeah, whatever. We were going to get on to a piece that Matt Ferencik, he's doing a weekly series asking all the writers. Kind of different topics, I guess. Obviously, a couple weeks ago as FA Cup versus relegation. And obviously, we got greedy and said we wanted both. Well, to avoid relegation, win the cup, I guess. But this week's, it was after Saturday's big win, Where Are You with Tim Sherwood? And... I mean, we had some mixed responses, some people still wanting him out in the summer regardless. And I don't know. I really think he should get a fair chance, at least one transfer window to see what he can do. If he's goes bad by December, you can bring someone else in.
Yeah, I agree. The one situation in which I could see it being possibly acceptable to sack him is if we have new ownership and they just want a clean slate.
Oh, yeah, totally. New owner, new manager. I mean, if they want their guy.
Yeah, that could be. Although, you know what? It wouldn't shock me, given the way this club was turned around, if a new owner comes on and says, we're going to stick with him for a bit. Let's see what he gets.
Yeah, at least try to keep one piece of stability, I think. I don't know. It seems like the players like playing for him.
I mean, his win ratio is second to none at Villa in the past 5 years.
Yeah, that too.
Just looking at the form since he came aboard, do you count the Leicester FA Cup match as a Sherwood match? I'm
not
so torn.
Really.
Because he wasn't managing, but everyone says it was that team talk at halftime.
Yeah.
Give Villa what they needed.
Yeah, I don't know. That could be true.
But if you don't count that, he's had, what, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 matches, and he's gotten... What, 4 wins? Yeah, 4
yeah.
wins.
Yeah, if you include the cup.
Yeah, 4 wins, a draw, and 4 losses. So what does that mean? And yeah, I'm including cops, but what if we just put this in terms of, if we just put this in terms of points, because all the, you know, the cup matches were against premiership teams, four wins and a draw is 13 points from 27 available.
Yeah. Right?
And that's, you know, 48% of the points. If Villa had played 48% of the points available all season, we'd be safe by now.
Yeah. We'd have 45 points.
Yeah.
Be in ninth.
Yeah. It would be great. And so, yeah, maybe Sherwood isn't the best in the world, but if he can get them playing at this level, that's Villa mid-table. That's what most of us at the beginning of the season said we would be really happy to see, the mid-table Villa.
Yeah, exactly. And just an even top half, if you're 9th, 10th, great. You just need to do that for a year and attract some better players, and then you can push on from there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't go from 17th to the Europa League in 1 year.
No, it's not world-beating ambition, but Villa aren't in a position to have world-beating ambition right now.
Exactly. So.
And so, yeah, I keep him around. I think there's some flaws. I would love to see him bring in an assistant manager who has some tactical know-how. The talk that, you know, we could bring in Ramsey from QPR if they drop as the assistant, I think would actually be really good for him.
Yeah, they're good friends, and obviously Ramsey outmaneuvered him in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got more tactical acumen than does Sherwood.
Yeah, at least during the match, which is important.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, something like that happening, I think, changes the landscape and changes the discussion a lot and makes Sherwood a much more appealing option.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I agree with what most everyone said. Keep him around. Give him a chance. He's not the best option out there by any means. There are better managers.
But for who Villa can get right now, and that was like a big discussion when Lambert was going to go. It's like, who are you going to get? And obviously, I mean, like, Klopp just quit Dortmund, but Villa can't bring in Klopp.
No, and the issue is, you know, if you want a better manager, you're going to have to pay for him, but we'll also be stuck paying the severance fee when we got Sherwood.
Yeah, exactly. Would you rather spend that on Cleverly, I guess, or on a new manager?
Yeah, exactly. I think he sticks around just from a sheer economics point, and I'm actually kind of excited for him to stick around. He's going to infuriate us at times. We've seen that this season. There's times where we want to throw stuff at our televisions because of him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that just comes with the territory, but
yeah, but he seems to be a more polarizing figure than most.
Yeah, like, easily.
And I think a lot of that has to do with his ego. He talks himself up so much that when he fails, you get really irritated.
Yeah, it's like, why did you fail? I thought you were like God's gift to managers.
Yeah, whereas when Paul Lambert failed, we were all like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, that was expected.
It's okay, Paul.
Poor Paul. I genuinely liked Paul Lambert. He seemed like a really good guy.
Yeah, it's too bad that he couldn't, I mean, that I guess he couldn't stay on as, like, maybe director of football or something if he really was so good at those transfers. I mean, I guess we still have to wait and see on a few of them, but
from what it looks like, was, though, it had turned so toxic, there was no way he could stay on as anything. Maybe if they had made that switch in, like, November or something.
Yeah, or, like, before the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, going to get to Twitter questions. We had one from Dustin Gerber-Martin, who's the managing editor, at a fellow SB Nation blog, Cartilage Free Captain, the Spurs blog, and he was saying, just how delicious are those Tottenham Hotspur supporter tears?
You know, Dustin, everyone knows everything, you know, about how anatomy works, and you would expect those tears to be pretty salty, but for some reason they are sweet and delicious and wonderful. what a joy. What a joy to meet them. I don't know if anyone got the chance to read it. I did a Q&A with Cartilage Free Captain last week. And the questions they sent me, every single one was about Tim Sherwood. And I was getting legitimately pissed off at these questions as I was writing my answers to them. And then I realized it was a chance for great banter and a chance to point out that if we did win, boy, that would be joyful. And look at what happened.
Yeah, on the off chance that Sherwood could do it.
and what a joy. I mentioned on there that half of the reason that I adore Tim Sherwood is because everyone seems to hate him.
Yeah, that's, I think, I mean, obviously he got the name Tactics Tim ironically, but I don't know. It's, I think he's gotten more flack than maybe he should have, even at Spurs.
Yeah. And to his credit, Dustin, the guy who sent us the question and the editor of CFC, has been a guy who has said, I think he's a terrible signing, but I really hope he works out well for you. He's not an a-hole Spurs fan, as are most of the Spurs fans I haven't talked to, or I have talked to, aren't a-holes about this. But this constant chorus of, he's going to be terrible, he's going to be terrible, he's going to be terrible, just you wait, makes me want him to be good so badly.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, he doesn't need to be great at Spurs to necessarily be great at Villa, but
yeah, exactly. It's this entire conversation has the air of condescension about it. Oh, we know better. We know what he's like. Just wait till you see it.
Yeah, yeah.
If he couldn't do well with a team like ours, he'll never do well with a team like yours. And part of it's the fact that we have different goalposts. Doing well for us right now is totally different than doing well for Tottenham.
Yeah, just keep us afloat.
Yeah, keep us afloat. Give us a season next year in which relegation is not a fear.
Exactly, yeah. I have it put to bed by Christmas.
Yeah, I don't need Europa League. I don't need challenging for Europe. I want Crystal Palace this year.
Exactly, yeah.
I want a few shock
wins.
Imagine
if they would have had Pardew from the beginning of the year, Palace, you know, they could even be a couple spots higher.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be, you know, I want to be West Ham this year. Fly too close to the sun and get burned. And when you get burned and start falling back to the earth, it's not like what happened to Villa when they went from second to relegation fodder. It's, oh, I went from fourth to ninth. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, Villa flew too close to the sun, but the problem is they did it too early. So they had a long ways to fall.
Yeah, there were still way too many matches left.
Yeah, exactly. You can't burn out that quickly, guys. And West Ham, they were never going to sustain. I said it all year. I didn't think they were the team that they were when we first faced them. And they haven't, but they did enough to get themselves to the point where, okay, playing like West Ham doesn't doom you.
Yeah, they still have 43 points with six games left. And this season, it's not even a question of is relegation an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what I want from Tim Sherwood. And to me, that's success. To a Tottenham fan, that's not success.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're a better team. They should expect more out of their club.
Exactly.
I think a lot of their fans have expectations that are beyond what Tottenham fans should have. But, you know, that's fine. So if Tim doesn't work for them, that doesn't mean he's not good for us.
Yeah, especially right now.
Yeah, I kind of adore the guy, and he pisses me off from time to time, and his little I'm not going to play Carlos Hill thing just infuriates me, but I love Tim Sherwood right now.
Yep, I mean, I think he was the best guy we could get, and he's doing all right so far.
Yeah, if you didn't see it, both you and our listeners, if you didn't see it, Chris Nee, who's one of the two hosts of Aston Villa Review, wrote a nice long post last week or this week about how Tim Sherwood is the perfect manager for Villa right now because he's getting the fans into it as much as he's getting the players into it. And I thought it was a really well-written post and a good point. So, you know, go search for Chris Nee, Tim Sherwood. And it's worth your time to read. It's a really, really great post.
Yeah, at Chris Nee FC on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. And he published the post on his own personal website, which Chris Nee.something, I don't remember.
Other question we had from Nate G at Nate JCB asking, is Jordan Ibe not cup tied? See all this talk about him playing Sunday. Pretty sure he was tied out on loan. And you're correct. He was at Derby County for the first half of the season and played an FA Cup match with them. So he's going to be unavailable for Liverpool. And they have a few injuries as well. We'll get to that in a little bit when we preview that game. But first, we're going to go over the relegation watch and rooting interest for this week.
Yeah, because, you know, Villa play on Sunday, but all of the relegation stuff that we care about happens on Saturday. With the exception of Hull City, who were supposed to play Liverpool and do that on Tuesday. But last weekend was a great weekend for Villa in relegation terms.
Yeah, yeah, much, much better than the previous.
So this weekend we've got Leicester hosting Swansea. Do you buy Leicester's recent form?
I don't know. They had a surge early in the season, and then they were just dead for most of it, and they've been bottom for a while. But I don't know. Win against West Brom. They almost came back and drew Spurs. They lost 3-4, what, like a month ago, and then I don't know. It's hard to know because they just had so many points to make up, but they're not even the bookies' favorites to go down, which means maybe there's something in it. I
Yeah,
think, and
exactly.
they have an easier run in than Hull, so I don't know. I'd pick them above Hull to stay up maybe, but I think both of them actually will go down.
From 1-10, they can keep up. But I do think that they're not quite the sure thing that they were. They've got some tough matches left. They've still got to host Chelsea. They still have to host Southampton. But they also have a trip to Burnley. They have Sunderland. They have QPR. They have a lot of six-pointers left.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you can start winning those, you're just going to be jumping people.
Yeah, absolutely. Burnley, on the other hand, are starting to make things a little bit more difficult for themselves. They travel to Everton this weekend.
And Everton have
And
been better lately.
yeah, they absolutely have been. Because when we first started looking at relegation a few weeks ago, Everton were still in the heat of it, and now they've made themselves come well clear.
Yeah.
But like Leicester, they have a lot of six-pointers left. Burnley have their match at Leicester, they have a match at Hull, and they have a match at Villa Park.
Yeah, on the final day. I mean, and Leicester have QPR on the final day. That schedule
Yeah.
makers knew something there.
Yeah, for a while there, it was looking as if Burnley and Villa might be playing for the spot in the Premier League on that final day. The way Burnley have been playing lately and the way Villa have been playing lately, that might actually be a meaningless match, which would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's the best situation for us.
Yeah, and Burnley have been playing very well lately. They're a team that I'm kind of intrigued to see what they can do in this little run-in.
Yeah, I think it started when they beat City. And I mean, it's gone just exactly the opposite trajectory their season has City's has lately. Their own
Yeah,
house, City just tanking it.
they held Arsenal to one, and Arsenal have been just absolutely on fire lately.
Yeah, they weren't going to beat Arsenal, but limiting the damage, I think, was important.
Yeah, and none of their remaining matches, with the exception of West Ham, are top half teams. Wait, Stoke as well. God,
Yeah, but at least they've Stoke at home, I guess.
yeah, and my brain refuses to process the idea that Stoke is a top half team. It just doesn't seem right. So you've got them playing at Everton this weekend, of course, root for Everton there. Crystal Palace and West Brom. Suddenly, if you're willing to buy the argument that Villa are still in the relegation race, West Brom, only a point ahead of us, are absolutely in it too.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah, and they play at currently on fire Crystal Palace, who have been marauding their way through the league lately.
Yeah, I think Selhurst is always a tricky place to play, and especially with how Palace have been doing lately.
Yeah, absolutely. It would not surprise me to see West Brom continue their tailspin into terribleness. And nothing would make me happier.
Yeah, and Palace, they shelled Sunderland last week, so helped us out, I guess, in the goal difference department, brought Sunderland's back below ours.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sunderland have a match in hand in which, given Sunderland's form, they're probably just going to hurt that goal difference.
Hopefully. It is
I hope.
at Stoke that could this week that could get ugly.
Yeah, that absolutely could. You've got, yeah, there's a lot that could happen there this week. Sunderland play Arsenal on Wednesday. Sunderland are probably going to get crushed on Wednesday. They don't play this weekend, so.
Yeah, especially because Arsenal, they have an easier cup semifinal
Yeah.
than either us or Liverpool do, I guess.
And even if they didn't, they're Arsenal playing Sunderland
Yeah,
at
they've won
Arsenal.
8 league games in a row.
Yeah, they're going to murder Sunderland. Now watch Sunderland win like 4-1 or something. But I mean, realistically speaking, they are going to crush Sunderland.
I mean, they don't need the first choice team against Reading on Saturday, and then it's
Yeah.
just
And so all of your relegation watching this weekend happens on Saturday at the 3 p.m. game. So just, you want Swansea to beat Leicester, you want Everton to beat Burnley, you want Crystal Palace to beat West Brom. Come on, Crystal Palace, be our saviors. And then you've got to wait for more relegation watching until midweek, Tuesday and Wednesday, when Hull City take on Liverpool and Sunderland take on Arsenal.
Yeah, and actually, Palace going for their fifth win in a row, so.
Yeah, they, like I said, they've looked incredible lately. I'm not sure where this came from. And they've actually been kind of fun to watch too,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
which is weird. I enjoyed Sunderland holding on for a bit there against Palace. Like, we're gonna do this, we're gonna eke out a point, and then the real Sunderland showed up and they gave up four goals in
The
what was it, 10
floodgates
minutes?
opened.
Yeah, was it 10 minutes?
I think it was like 15, but it was a very short period of time.
It was just incredible. I'm sorry, I have to look this up because I can't remember. I just saw it zooming past on Twitter, going, "Oh God, what's happening?"
Goal, 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 goal.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they
it was between
48,
the.
51, 53, and 62, so 14 minutes, and three goals in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and Pardew, I mean. Sunderland scored the 90th minute, and Pardew was like, I think the scoreline honestly flatters Sunderland.
Yeah, and he's right. They pulled a Sunderland. They did exactly what they did against Aston Villa.
Yep, at home.
Yeah, exactly. Which was just lay down and die.
Yeah,
So yeah, keep
even
that up,
no
please.
matter who the manager is.
Yeah, keep that up, Sunderland. You can go ahead and do that against Arsenal, and none of us will be sad.
Yeah.
For two matches there under Dick Advocaat, they look like they might pull it off again. And I'm pretty convinced again that they're going to nosedive after that Crystal Palace result.
I just think they've drawn 14 matches this season, won only five. I think they didn't go for it early enough in the year when you can
Yeah.
maybe afford to take more risks instead of trying to bunker for a point.
Yeah, absolutely. It's. I think they're dead. I think they're dead. I think Hull are dead. It's funny, two of the teams that I think are going to drop are currently not in it right now, but I think they're both gone.
Yeah, I
And
think I don't know. It's hard to bet against QPR just because they've played 33,
yeah,
and
but against QPR, what?
no, I think against QPR going down, I think they'll go
Oh,
down.
okay. I was like, you think they'll survive?
No, I can't see betting against QPR in any of their games. They're just so good. But no, like I don't know. I don't know. I think Sunderland could drop, and the whole fixture list is brutal. But then, I mean, Leicester with two wins in a row. I don't know. Could fluky
Yeah,
though.
I think it's Sunderland, Hull, and QPR, and Burnley and Leicester make stunning late season surges and get themselves out of it.
Squeak back into the league.
Yeah. Which would mean two of the promoted teams survive this year if that happens.
Yeah, which I mean, it's really tricky to do because. When you come up, even if you have all that money, you can't always convince players to go there, and then you have to make sure you're not going to go back down.
Yeah, Leicester
And
City probably have Mark Albrighton to thank for all of their goodness lately.
yeah, probably. And finally started the relegation poaching series with Leicester yesterday.
Yeah.
Put Albrighton on there mostly as a joke, if you saw that.
I don't know. He was pretty good. I think we can get that Bannon kid back too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to see the relegation poaching series back. Who was your top pick from Leicester?
I think Andrej Kramaric, their Croatian striker, but got a couple shouts for David Nugent and I don't know, some other people had ideas of Leicester players that they would like to see at Villa. I mean, I think actually like they could provide some good depth, but I don't know necessarily, maybe not good enough to start. I guess the other one was Riyad Mahrez. The
Yeah.
Algerian, but that people had suggested. But I don't want anyone like Jamie Vardy or
I don't think you could bring in Jamie Vardy because of how much the team probably hates that guy.
And while it'd be awesome to have Cambiaso for a season, I don't know, he'll be 35 next year, but I don't know,
Yeah.
he has scored four times for them this year.
Yeah, you could do worse if you're stealing from them. I think it's safe to say that if you didn't poach anyone from Leicester, you'd still probably be okay.
I think so. I mean, I think the next one will be on Monday. I guess I'll do Burnley if they're still second bottom, I guess, or QPR.
Yeah. There's some teams with more people to take. Got Charlie Austin. It's a shame that he's going to go to someone rich.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, him on Villa would be a joy. Him pairing up with Christian Benteke?
Yeah, or at least somewhere that's somewhat rich, like Southampton maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Villa make a move for him. Maybe they make that their marquee summer signing.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I just don't think we need a striker, but if we had money to burn, I wouldn't mind seeing it on Austin.
I would say we don't need a striker, except for the fact that because Gabby Agbonlahor is injured, we're probably starting Andy Vyman at Wembley. I think that's a pretty good sign we need some more striker depth. I would be okay with Gabby Agbonlahor being the third choice.
Yeah, that's true.
So I do think we need a striker.
Let's actually move on to that FA Cup semifinal preview. We talked a lot about the injuries earlier because there are just so many of them. But, the match is going to be Sunday at Wembley at 3 GMT, of course, so 10 Eastern. I'll actually be out of town, but I'll be watching it in San Francisco at 7 in the morning.
I keep looking for a conference that I can go read a paper at.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, like, you did at the beginning of the season. We won now against...
For that Liverpool match, for Liverpool at Anfield. So the last two times I've read a conference paper, Villa have gotten 1-0 wins away from home. So,
I don't know. The neutral site, though.
Yeah, I don't know if that counts. I don't know if that voodoo still works. So I'll be watching on Sunday. You'll be watching on Sunday. All of the Villa world will be watching on Sunday. Are you excited for this or are you terrified?
I don't know. I think we just got to be happy to be here. Like, yeah. It's not like we've been tanking in the league and this is the only thing that could salvage the season. It's not like we have like 20 points. So we're confirmed down.
Yeah.
You probably have no confidence anyways against Liverpool, but I think you just got to try to make the most of it. Knockout competition. I don't know. Anything can happen. Extra time. Well, I don't think either team would want to see it. It would definitely favor Liverpool, although they do have some key injuries, like Mamadou Sakho is going to be out, Jordan Ibe, as we said, cup-tied, Sturridge doubtful, and Adam Lallana also doubtful, and John Flanagan out, I guess, as well.
Yeah, they've got their fair share of injuries, too, and they really have not been on form lately. They've kind of looked like junk lately, especially in the FA Cup.
Oh, they've had a horrible FA Cup run.
Yeah, it's one of the worst semifinal runs that I can remember.
Like, yeah, just enough. Yeah, my tactical preview will be out tomorrow, Friday, I guess, probably same time you're viewing this. But I'll just give you a little preview of or review of Liverpool's run. They had to deal with replays against Bolton and Blackburn. Liverpool haven't even won. They didn't even win at Anfield this year in the Cup.
Mm.
And then they only beat Wimbledon by a goal and Palace by a goal.
Yeah, they have not had an inspiring cup run. And if you go and you look at Villa, they haven't been all that inspiring either. But they've
never Villa got to play every game at home.
Yeah, and they've yet to they haven't had to replay. They haven't had anything like that. So it's not been amazing, but it's certainly been better than Liverpool's cup run.
And it's improved, I guess. I think the biggest fear of a replay was against Blackpool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and absolutely. And you're right, it has improved. I mean, 2-0 against West Brom in scenes from the Dark Ages. Which, by the way, the FA still has not come down with a punishment on that.
Yeah, but they maybe just forgot about it.
Something tells me that's not true. But, I mean, one can only hope. I feel like a kid hoping that their parent forgot about the punishment. You're right. But yeah, it should be a really interesting match. I would probably be terrified if Villa were healthy. Because at that point, you get this real sense that Villa would have a real chance at it. At this point, I think Villa have a chance, but it's mostly a luck chance. And if they don't win, it's going to be understandable because of the fact that they had no players.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think Villa can really just try to embrace the underdog mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's an absolute possibility here. And there's a real chance that they come away with this win. Liverpool have not been great. If their starting 11 can do something, if Benteke can stay on form, maybe they take a 2-goal lead into halftime and then just bunker like mad.
Yeah, and last game against Newcastle, it was in the league, obviously, but Liverpool with Sacco out, they had a switch to a four at the back. And I mean, that, I guess that was a little different for them because still playing really without a striker, who was kind of Sterling, Coutinho and Jordan Ibe up top. But I mean, Sterling, I don't know. I was listening on the radio, I guess, but Sterling was good, but missed an open goal from what I understand. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if he's having a good day, Villa could be in trouble.
Yeah. In a way, I sort of like these injuries because it means that we just get to enjoy this match. Like you said, enjoy being there.
Yeah, it'll be, for everyone who's going, it'll be a great, great trip, fun trip, go down to London, and everything goes well, maybe you could go back.
Yeah, there's a chance that we lose. My only hope is that we don't get trounced or that we're not out of it by halftime.
Yeah.
You know, I want the fans there to actually be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, like, don't give away an early penalty. Don't get scored on the opening 10 minutes. Don't get someone sent off or something terrible. I mean, don't play scared. Don't go out there trying to draw or trying to push it to extra time. But I'm not going to complain if it goes to penalties.
They don't have the players to push it to extra time.
No.
Plus, can you see Tim Sherwood doing something like that? He's going to go in there, guns a-blazing.
YOLO.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be amazing. That's what I think is going to be the real hope here, because with so much just like we have no one, and with Tim Sherwood at the helm, he's just going to say, go out there and just attack like mad. And this could be a game that ends up 5-4 or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
It would be such a thrill to watch. The joy of the cup.
The magic of the cup.
Yeah.
Do you think Shea Given or Brad Guzan will start?
That's maybe the best question of them all. I gotta give it to Given.
I think so too, which is hilarious. Like, just the way that of what happened to Guzan last time.
Last time, get over that.
How he was the cup goalkeeper, and then Martin O'Neill replaced him with Brad Friedel.
Yeah.
Even after Guzan had saved, like, 10 penalties.
I think you have to give it to Given. He's been great. Guzan, you know, this match against Spurs aside, has not been looking wonderfully lately.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's been average.
Yeah, give him a break. Like Given, who got us here, get us further.
Guzan's going to storm out of the dressing room and drive the team bus back to Birmingham.
The thing that I keep forgetting, that I legitimately keep forgetting, is that Villa are two wins away from playing in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, this is, if we win this, we are suddenly one match away from European competition next year. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, exactly, because look at what happened to Everton. The Europa League kind of was a distraction. I think the only way you can really do well in the Europa League is if you buy enough players, kind of just sustain depth. And I guess I was seeing for Borussia Dortmund, they're not going to make the Champions League this year, but they're not too upset with making the Europa League because they can get 90,000 fans every day, so match day revenues can really make up for lower TV revenues.
Yeah, absolutely. But, and you know, Tim Sherwood would take the Europa League seriously.
Yeah, I think so.
And the good news is we have Europa League assassin Lieber Kozak on our roster.
Yeah, when he was Lazio, he scored like one goal in the league and 10 in the Europa League. Like,
yeah, a man whose reputation rests entirely on Europa League flair.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see it happen. I'm not sure if this team is ready. They could flame out. It could hurt the season. I would love to see Europa League competition. So maybe these two wins would be great. But the problem is you're probably going to be playing Arsenal in that final.
Yeah, I think we're definitely playing Arsenal in the final.
Arsenal with, you know, a chance at two FA Cups in a row.
Yeah, after not winning anything for 10 years. But I don't know. If somehow Reading can sneak through, then someday the pressure is huge.
Yeah, and we know by kickoff on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
If Reading somehow sneak through, there will be so much pressure to win this match.
Yeah.
It would be incredible if Villa got to play Reading in the FA Cup final. The TV networks would hate it.
Yeah, TV networks would not be happy.
Are you kidding me? The crappiest of crap Premier League teams and Reading. But oh God, it would be so great. I don't know. This is the match that for the first time in a while I'm really approaching it as a fan. I'm not worried about anything.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm
exactly.
worried.
Unless Benteke gets hurt, I like eh.
Yeah, there's the obvious worries of like, I don't know if we can do this, but it's really I'm approaching this with more joy than I've approached any match in a while. I'm really excited for this. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, like the QPR match, just freaking out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then this Tottenham match, after that goal, we spent the rest of that match panicking.
Yeah, not because Spurs were just going to get one. We knew if they scored, they'd get two.
Oh yeah, God, of course. And it was always going to be Harry Kane, and
Harry Kane.
yeah.
And Sherwood in the post-conference press or post-game presser. Oh well, Harry Kane, he's good because of me. I'm like, okay, well, how does that help us?
Yeah, exactly. So, this will be fun. I'm excited. I honestly can't remember the last time I felt this way about a match. I am legitimately excited to watch this. I think it'll be a fun match. It'll be great to see Villa at Wembley. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think just try to enjoy it, I guess, really. Like it's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting. So, obviously no predictions.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're sorry, we won't have a prediction for you, but
Nope, never.
maybe we'll make a prediction against Reading and then go on to lose 4-0.
Yeah, no. If we get to play Reading, we are keeping our damn mouths shut. We're not even going to say, I feel good about this. We're going to keep our damn
No,
mouths shut.
I'm terrified of Reading.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the great teams in English football.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically all we have for you today. Remember, we're still looking for writers and designers for 7500hold.com, so
If you watch the Villa Ladies, let us know. I desperately want someone to regularly cover the Villa Ladies. That team is fun to watch from the highlights that I get to see. They're pretty cool in general. If you're a season ticket holder, if you regularly go see the Villa Ladies, please drop us a line, 7500toholt@gmail.com. I really want to get a Villa Ladies writer on board.
So, yep, that's that for this week, I guess, with the advertising. But remember, we're still on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully they're not making you listen to ads, and YouTube as well. So for Robert Lintott and 7500toholt.com, I've been Jack Grimsey. Thanks for listening to the Holtcast.